The winds have made it clear. Our short window of pre-summer is officially here. So enjoy your spring. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm here with co-host Sarah Lohman and Nevada Current reporter Michael MJ Lyle. And we're talking even newer A's stadium renderings, the Clark County Commission adoption of new ethics rules, and the Bellagio Fountains hosting a big-time celebrity from the animal kingdom. It's Friday, March 8th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Now, before we get started, we got to tell you, it's here. Today is the last day we're going to talk about founding membership, because today is the last day to become a founding member of CityCast Las Vegas. You want to know what that means? Sarah, tell them what that means.
I wasn't expecting that. Basically, what that means is you're going to get some really nice perks, like at first, ad-free listening. Then we're going to roll out bonus content, which we've already been talking about, I'm excited about, and also events, too. I mean, more than that, you will be enshrined on our founding members wall forever and ever and ever, so you can tell all your friends how you support local journalism. How about them apples?
No, that's great. And, you know, once I finally got into podcasts, and it took me a while to kind of get into more and more. Yeah. So I used to just listen to them. I would download them for long road trips, that sort of thing. But then, you know, some of them started offering membership or, you know, had these different sites where you could get like a little premium. And I started doing that. And not for any other reason, the fact that I really love those podcasts and wanted to support them. So I do one called If Books Could Kill.
Oh, of course.
Sarah, do you support any podcasts or other media?
Yeah, I do for the same reason. I mean, I have listened to podcasts for many, many years. I was in on the ground level with Serial, but then one just like really captured my heart. It's called I Hate It, But I Love It. And it's a movie review podcast about like movies that you hate and love. And they release a bonus episode every month. And like it was worth it to me to access all that bonus content, because once you signed up, you got like everything in the past as well. And, you know, I also run my own Patreon. I'm not going to plug it here. It's my other job. But like that kind of support and honestly the community that a membership program builds has been the most rewarding part of it for me.
Awesome. Well, if you want to become a founding member, like I said, today's the last day to do that. Head over to lasvegas.citycast.fm.
Woo!
All right, let's head into the news. Sarah.
David.
Another one. The A's have finally released this iteration of rendering. What's the reaction?
Yeah, have you both seen it? MJ, have you seen it too?
Yeah, it's giving like Australia. What's that house called?
The Sydney Opera House, yeah.
Yes, it's giving Sydney Opera House. It's giving
Sydney Opera House.
Yes, it totally is. I saw it first drop on Instagram too, and I was like, that looks like the Sydney Opera House. And then I went into the comments and everyone said, that looks like the Sydney Opera House. So why are we been waiting for this? I mean, we really haven't seen. They keep talking big talks. And then actually this rendering is like pretty different from anything they've pitched. So I don't know. I think they just made it up last night. I have no idea. But here's the deal. So no more moving ceiling. That is out, because we all knew that that was a bad idea, because who wants to sit in the blazing Las Vegas sun during summer baseball season, right? So the roof is now stationary. It blocks like basically southern light, like the strongest light. It has a lot of the quote unquote largest evers. It will have the largest jumbotron. It will block out like direct light, but it will bathe the evergreen stadium astroturf in northern light from one of the biggest glass windows. I can't find the term. I'm sure somebody out there knows. It's like glass and rope. It's like glass and cable. That's what it is. Windows, and it's got this spectacular view out into the strip, which I have to admit is very, very cool. And that is big, and the Jumbotron is big, and they haven't shown what Bally's is going to construct on the remaining acreage. They're going to put a hotel casino in. Like, it's a smarter idea, and they basically said, we went to other stadiums in hot climates, duh, and realized some of our ideas weren't good ones, and we've adjusted for that. And so the stadium does seem smart. Oh, and all the seats have unobstructed views, too, which is, you know, really nice.
Well, MJ, there was a lot of pressure for the A's to release Sutton.
Sutton.
Does this satisfy, you think, all the skeptics and critics?
Are you asking me because I've been a skeptic and critic, David?
Yes. Speaking on behalf of the skeptic and critic community, MJ, does this satisfy you?
I don't know, like, how you, what you're implying. I don't know. Like, I'm never excited about renderings. Surprise to no one. Because it just, everything changes so often. And so I think they did definitely have to release something. But I don't even know if this is going to be the end of it. And if this is, like, going to be the end-all be-all. So I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, even the head of Bally's, which essentially is controlling that property and has to partner with the A's, said, well, I'm sure there'll be many iterations that'll be massaged from this. So
massage is the word for it.
It makes me think of the old Mike Myers Saturday Night Live sketch. Hello, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings. This is just a drawing. There's no schematics. There's no, like, you know, code enforced, you know, compliance here of what they need to do with traffic. There's no studies to make sure it's viable. It's just a pretty picture.
And we should remind people that this is going to go on where the Trop is now. Trop's coming down. Tropicana's coming down. Different than Dropicana, but a different type of Dropicana. And then this is going to go there, plus a smaller casino. You know, I do love the fact that there is this gigantic window looking out into the strip. Like, of course we should incorporate that. It's always funny to me that it looks out over the iconic New York City skyline. Rob Cattle-Reese, newsletter editor, he pointed out there's actually no parking garage. There's going to be parking spaces, like sort of a traditional outdoor stadium. Yeah. So you might not be baking in the Las Vegas sun in July, but your car and your upholstery will be for sure.
And it's an incomplete, again, it's just a drawing. It's just a whiteboard hope. It's almost like they just told AI, make something pretty that we'll like and that people will think is cool and classy. And, there's a big name architect and his firm attached to it. But I don't think that he painstakingly did the process that architects do to make a project that's definitely a green light. That said, I do think it's beautiful. And I don't think it would be out of place on the strip because, let's face it, it's the strip. There are pyramids and castles.
Might as well have something out of Sydney.
That looks like an armadillo on it, too.
And that is what some people are saying, where we replicate, we recreate. But at the same time, a lot of our buildings are super iconic, right? So, like, I did feel a little let down that it references another building so much, which they didn't even admit. They were like, it's supposed to look like baseball pennants, which it doesn't, because baseball pennants, if I remember correctly, are triangular.
I don't know. It looks like a little bit of La Concha, which is the iconic building that they moved to the Neon Museum.
That would be cool. I do wish that we had something more iconic for our skyline, right? Something really recognizable, not something that's so derivative.
MJ, are you noticing that the A's are taking hits on this new design already, or do you think people are embracing it?
I think they're taking more hits than the actual A's, so... Can you hear me?
Oh, ouch. That was a burn. No, that was really good.
Oh.
that might be the best burn yet.
I appreciate the follow-up of do you hear me? Because it did actually take me a moment to process it.
Is this mic on?
It was good.
No, that's funny. No, you know, it's because they did a roundtable like on ESPN where all the talking heads come on and they all shit on it. And the one said, well, you know, even in this rendering, the sun is setting in the wrong spot, but I'm not surprised since the A's never know what to do with a star, which also was a good burn. All right, let's go to another topic here. The County Commission just approved some new ethics rules, including rules that govern themselves. MJ, what happened there?
So to be clear, the county has longstanding ethics rules that dictate that county employees and county commissioners disclose conflicts of interest and also cooling off periods, which simply just means it restricts county employees from taking positions with companies or individuals that have contracts with the counties. And so those have been longstanding rules. But on Tuesday, they improved expansions and additions to the rules to really double down on just some of the conflict of interest and double down on like who is affected on that. And so there've always been an ethics rule, as I mentioned, about cooling off periods, but this adds to make sure that former commissioners and their spouse and their households are also included on that too. So the previous ethics rules had said that any commissioner or employee has to submit a disclosure to the county manager's office, but this goes above and beyond. The new rules add on that in addition to disclosing with the county manager's office, within 7 days of a county hearing a certain item, they have to disclose what the conflict of interest was with a specific agenda item. Mm. My question on that, though, is within the 7 days, I'm not sure why it's not before, but at least they're, I guess, amending some of the ethics codes. And so they do a few other things, too.
Okay, so we had ethics rules, and somehow they decided they needed to update those ethics rules and make them, what, stronger, better, faster? I think, you know, like for ordinary citizens like me and Sarah, we're like, we think they might be up to shady stuff. Is this going to stop shady stuff?
I think this gives a little bit more of protections around shady stuff and making sure unwarranted sway or unwarranted gifts, unwarranted influence isn't given to commissioners and employees and households of employees, too. I've noticed many, many times throughout the new rules, they kind of went above and beyond to expand like former commissioners and former employees and their households, too. But this gives a county manager is going to be doing the assessment. And each year, they're going to be providing kind of a naughty list of who broke which rules and what type of influence that they got and whether or not they used their position to secure outside influence on things that were even in their purview. But the thing about this, the question that I brought up is it's the county manager's office that is going to be doing this assessment and providing this assessment to the commission employees. What happens if the violation happens within the county manager's office? And so
who's watching the watchdog?
Who's watching the watchdogs? I guess I am.
I guess, yeah, that's you, MJ. It's all on you.
Probably you, MJ, yeah.
So we didn't have this, I'm going to just call it the naughty list, before these new rules were implemented this week.
There are crumbs of the naughty list that if, like, you did public records requests, I'm sure you would be able to figure out. However, this kind of gives a little bit more of a presentation or give it a little bit more formality to collect and demonstrate who is on this naughty list and what exactly they were naughty for, so.
Yeah, so, okay, I guess two-part question. So are these submissions voluntary? Like, if I received that luxury vacation, it is up to me to now put that, to document that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the rules are saying that you actually have to submit this to the county manager's office with essentially all the things that you took. If it's you use your time or facility outside of the county, outside of what your job description was, outside your department, if you're a commissioner that was working in something that has direct correlation with a board that the county oversees or reviews, you have to kind of disclose this. It gives a little bit more guidance on about that disclosure, too. And so a lot more details on where some of the conflicts actually arise that will help, I guess, shed a little bit more light on why some deals do and do not get done at the county.
So just to clarify, this is a little bit like a la Clarence Thomas, right, on the federal level, that if I, work for the county and I give a company approval to do a big construction project that's going to make that company a lot of money, if it's then discovered that that company took me for a luxury vacation, that's a problem. And now if I don't disclose that, that's an even bigger problem, correct?
Of course, you know, if they're doing stuff that is bribes, that is still illegal. And you don't have to look too far back in the Clark County Commission history to see that a majority of our elected Clark County officials went to prison for, you know, taking money and other favors for construction projects. So is this going to somehow either avoid those situations or expose our commissioners to potential criminal liability? MJ, what's going on with these new ethics rules? What is the teeth here?
I don't know about criminal liability. Hopefully not, but it could potentially. I think it's just going to give a lot more accountability and give us a lot more tools to actually examine what is happening behind the scenes and whether there is obvious conflict of interest and if people are taking gifts or using their influences in ways that they should not be doing that.
Now, the timing of when Commissioner Jim Gibson, who is the one who requested these amendments, is interesting. It was back in 2023, and that's before they were getting F1 tickets for free. I mean, would these new rule changes make any of the commissioner's recent actions a little more, disclosable?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if this is retroactive, if like we're going to see kind of past influence. I think it seems like going forward, we're going to be so much better. I promise you going forward. But yeah, that is a good note that this was something that was discussed in May of 2023. And now we're kind of seeing I know it takes time to get ordinances and get things together, but it's quite a bit of runway. And right after F1, right after the Super Bowl, right after a lot of big events. And so now we have these new rules. And so it is interesting timing, but I don't know about if it's going to require past admissions to influence.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I watched the proceedings themselves, and you know, Commissioner Gibson's like, look, we're just trying to be more better, you know, but I, again, as a cynic, sometimes wonder if this is, you know, going to stop all the lawyers or construction people or people with hidden interests who serve in the government, whether commissioners or otherwise, will really be as transparent as maybe we aspire them to be. But, you know, better to have better rules than to not.
Better something. There's always going to be improvements to these, but I guess better than what we were operating on.
All right, well, let's move on to the third subject. And this is a little more fun. The Bellagio Fountains, the iconic Bellagio Fountains, hosted a very special guest. It was a rare, and when I say rare, I mean like one of the 10 most rare birds in North America, the yellow-billed loon, which is a migratory bird. They typically spend their summers in the high Arctic and their winters along the coast of Alaska. So I don't know if, you know, this loon thought it might have been spring break and time to go hit Vegas, somehow got away from all his friends and wound up, I don't know, possibly drunk in the Bellagio Fountains. Anyway, people took photos, and of course, Nevada Wildlife was called out because this is kind of a rare occasion. Initially, they were going to allow the bird to just chill, listen to some Frank Sinatra, and then go on his own way. But I guess the decision was made that it might be a little treacherous for our little yellow-billed loon friend to stay there. So they carefully scooped him up, noted that he had no injuries, thankfully, and then put him in a place where there would be actual food as opposed to whatever tourists throw into the Bellagio Fountains.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So it did shut down the fountains all of Tuesday, which I think in itself is a pretty rare occasion in honor of our little loon.
It's actually quite a big fat loon, honestly. I'm surprised how big loons are.
And it was a juvenile loon, so, I mean, that big boy's going to be playing some ball. That's a big loon.
Oh, that's why he was in the Bellagio Fountain. Not the first loon to end up in the Bellagio Fountain, I'm sure.
But certainly the cutest.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cute.
Beady eyes.
Although there was like a little bit of controversy there. I'm going to call it Duckgate for a second because I guess some photos of just an ordinary duck sort of showed up.
A mallard.
Yeah.
The first thing you guys sent me, I was like, that's a duck, dudes.
But there was some misidentification, and then all of a sudden people like were having a conspiracy theory. It's like, they're not shutting down the Bellagio Fountains for a loon. They're shutting it down for, I don't know, black ops.
Okay, can I say that a project I'm going to try later today is, so the real photos came out of the loon being released into somewhere. We don't know exactly where.
And I don't want to know because people are shitty.
Yeah, they're keeping it secret. But I'm going to try to create an AI-generated image of Nevada Fish and Wildlife releasing a loon into a wetlands to see if it's maybe not a real photo and the conspiracy theorists are true.
Oh, look at that. Well, y'all, is this a charming story about a company forgoing profits to save their rare bird? Or is this a sad story about how badly climate change must be screwing something up for this lost guy?
Can it be both?
Can we hold both thoughts?
Okay, I've been holding my excitement because I am chomping at the bit.
Oh, Sarah, unleash. This is like my joy of the Friday News Roundup.
Yes. So, like, I am an amateur bird person. Like, one of my previous lives, when I was living in Cleveland, I did volunteer work rehabbing migratory birds. One of the things I learned is that sometimes birds just get lost. Who knows why? It's not climate change related. It's been happening a long time. When I was in Cleveland, like, a Russian tern showed up in a farmer's field in Cuyahoga County, Ohio. So, like, it just flew the wrong direction. I think that now that migration movies about the same thing, birds going the wrong way. And somewhat famously, so like we have ibis here in North America and here in Las Vegas. You can see them at the wetlands parks. Ibis are from North Africa. And sometime a couple thousand years ago, a group of ibis migrated the wrong direction and ended up in Florida. And that's how we ended up with ibis. They're the same ibis and they just... really, you know, like that stereotype of men won't ask for directions or turn around? That is birds.
I had no knowledge of any of this. And I'm just second-guessing everything that shows up in Las Vegas. Because everyone here is from somewhere else anyway, for the most part.
I just started writing the draft for Migration Part 2.
Oh my God.
Migration Part 2. The Bellagio Fountains. I got it. I'm writing it.
You know, I might even argue that it was... a really lucky thing that we have these massive fountains right in the middle of the city, in the middle of the desert, because that loon was hella lost and spotted it and had somewhere to safely land. And I think it's really sweet. I mean, I'm amazed that some birder was walking by and was like, holy F.
Oh, no, I think the staff at the Bellagio is trained. If they see anything that shows up in that fountain that they can't immediately identify, that they have a protocol.
That's amazing.
They have to. I mean, that's a crackerjack team over there.
And then they shut it down. I think that's so nice.
Yeah, that's my guess, although that hasn't really come out yet. But that would make a lot of sense. Also, I just want to backtrack. There are a lot of people who are born in Las Vegas and stay here. I mean, none of them are on this podcast right now.
I was born in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
Wait, you were MJ?
Yes.
MJ, yes.
Sunrise Hospital, baby.
Oh, my gosh. You and my little sister.
Are you saying because I'm constantly mentioning the other places I've lived that I'm not LV legit?
No, because I said no one here is from here. But I say that jokingly because I obviously have lots of friends, including my friend MJ, who I never bothered to ask where he was born. Although that's, you know, such a litmus test. It's more like, where'd you go to high school? That's a Vegas thing.
Okay, it's not my fault. My mom moved when I was in high school, but I came back for college, so I went up to middle school. So
okay, all right. Well, we all have our backstories on coming to Vegas, including the loon. Let me ask this though, for funsies. What do you think this is a harbinger of? That a rare bird that doesn't necessarily show up in Nevada shows up in the Bellagio Fountains? What are other signs of maybe a Vegas doomsday?
Oh gosh. No. Why'd you have to take this and like make it scary?
I went dark with the loon.
We know we have an election year this year. Like we're 4 years, like a pandemic. We declared a pandemic and shut down the state. I don't, we're almost at that anniversary. Like, I don't want to think about what this could be foretelling. So I want to go back to happier times.
All right. What other unexpected visitors might we be seeing in the next few months here in Las Vegas?
Let's get a zebra.
Oh.
Just randomly to show up where? At Circus Circus?
Yes. I picture it walking in out of the desert, honestly. Henderson. The Henderson zebra.
Just like, I need a beer. I got a story.
Yeah. Like, maybe the zebra ends up on the Boulder City Ram Cam.
Oh, that'd be great. On the Ram Cam.
You'll have a happy life.
I want to see Britney Spears on the Ram Cam, too. I just want Britney to come back. Come back, Britney. Vegas misses you.
Come back, Britney.
See, I don't think that would be unexpected, David.
No, it wouldn't be. Who would be, like, a little bit more unexpected?
Okay, the most unexpected residency. We'll do this, and then we'll wrap up this.
Thank you.
This descent into madness. The most unexpected residency in Las Vegas would be if Tiny Tim came back from the dead. And
Sarah.
Did a 3-month engagement on the strip.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Well, welcome to the loon. Safe journey. Tell all your friends Vegas is the place to go. Sarah Lohman and Michael MJ Lyle, thank you so much for joining us on the Friday News Roundup.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Let's get some loon merch.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. Our producers this week were Sonia Cho Swanson, Layla Muhammad, and AK Al Mumin. Our newsletter editor is Rob Catchell-Reese, and our hosts are Sarah Lohman and me, David Figler. Music is by OG Moose, Epidemic Sound, and All the Kimonos. We record this show on the traditional homelands of the Nuuvi, the Southern Paiute people. If you enjoyed the show, hey, go tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and today only, sneak in under the wire to become one of our founding members. Go to lasvegas.citycast.fm. You could also subscribe to our morning newsletter while you're there. We'll be back Monday morning with more news from around the city. Till then, all you loons, stay lucky.
Speak of animal hijinks, like, can we just shout out the scorpion that was just trying to have a nice night in a luxury hotel and some guy got into his bed?
You buy that story?
From the scorpion's perspective, I do.
Okay, you're all in that that's exactly what happened?
No, I am not. I am not.
I try to keep that story out of my mind, especially when I climb into bed. Like,
yeah, no one wants to think about getting stung on the balls, but imagine if you were the scorpion in the bed.